Viola and I were married in June the 4th, 1977. And in June the 5th, 1978, we had little Danny. 2 weeks later, the first meeting of the Listowel Bible Chapel was. So we kind of have an idea there. How long we have been meeting. Originally, our dear brother Evan Cranbrink was going to speak, but because of what he's all come through, we've decided to change that. We're looking ahead some other time for you to fill the gap, Evan. And then a week or so ago, they asked me, and I prayed about it and thought I'd really like to speak something about the past and about the anniversary. And the Lord brought this to my mind. I'm not going to get near through it, but that's okay. I've been blessed by the study myself. We'll go as far as I can. An anniversary is a time to remember. It's a time to learn, and it's a time to look, where are we now compared to where were we? First of all, I want to say thank you to you all. Viola and I, most of our life has been here at the Listowel Bible Chapel. And I want to thank you as believers, how the Lord used you to mold and teach and help us in life. And I rejoice in what the Lord has done in that through you. And we do appreciate you. Thank you for your prayers, your help and encouragement in whatever way you have been a blessing to us. This morning, Garrett talked about wisdom, and I'm going to touch a bit on that and a little more at the start. But before I do, I would like to turn to Leviticus chapter 4, verse 22 to 26. I have really appreciated the Old Testament and some lessons that are taught there that we have in full blossom in the New Testament. It gives us a better understanding and a deeper appreciation for that. Now let's read Leviticus chapter 4, verse 22 to 26. When a ruler hath sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God, concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they killed the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. Now, that's all I'm going to read for time's sake. There is the same thing in verse 30, also in verse 34, and in many other places in the Old Testament, we have a small phrase. He shall take his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering. I have mentioned before, there are seven places in the tabernacle where the blood is applied. This is one of those places. Each one of those places has a tremendous lesson for us today. A tremendous picture. Tonight, this lesson here comes in line with what I want to talk about. The altar of burnt offering was a place where sin was dealt with. God's atonement came to be. It was a picture of what Christ was going to do. And God, the priest, would make atonement for the people with that blood. But when he put it on the horns of the altar, if you look all through Scripture in Daniel, Amos 3:14, in the Psalms and many other scriptures, we don't have time to look at them. But every time the horns are a picture of authority and power. Here is the authority and power for forgiveness of our sins. It is there God dealt with them. And it's there, there is authority. I first want to say if there's a child or a boy or girl or an older person that has never received the Lord Jesus, never come to the cross and had forgiveness of your sins and new birth, do that tonight. But it has another meaning. It has that meaning as we come to the cross, we are forgiven. The other meaning is a victorious Christian life. The sin that is in our life, as we claim the blood and as it were take the authority of the work Christ has done on the cross, we can claim victory over sin. That is also a meaning here. And therefore, with that in mind, as we go into our study here, we have to, if we want to live the Christian life, do it in the power of God, claiming the victory that Christ has won for us over sin. John 15 teaches us that without him, we can do nothing. What I want to talk about tonight is abounding. I thought back 36 years, and what the Lord seemed to say to me, how have you grown? And what I want to challenge you as an assembly, what has happened in the last 36 years of your life? I took the word abounding, I looked it up in the concordance, I was very surprised what God tells us to abound in. As an individual and as an assembly, it goes out from our lives into the assembly. And so we will go as far as we get. There is many, and we won't near get done with it. The first one I want to look at is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. We're going to read this. And this is just a springboard, the perfect springboard that Garrett gave me this morning to go from here with his message and, as it were, run further with it. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. It reads, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." There's more in here than even some message can cover. But I want to pull a few thoughts out of here. The first thing is, it was some years ago, reading through Proverbs, I used to long for more wisdom. How can I get more wisdom? How? What is wisdom? And as I was struggling with this, I all of a sudden realized something, and that is Proverbs has three words in it. They're all closely linked, and they're very important in life. The first one is knowledge. The second one is wisdom. The third one is understanding. Proverbs goes on and says, get knowledge with all you're getting. Get wisdom with all you're getting. But most of all, get understanding. How do you define these words or get a grasp of how we can put this to the rubber on the road, as it were? And this, this picture came to my mind. And because I'm a mechanical guy, I think mechanical, but it applies spiritually too. And that is, and if you'd have a four-wheel drive tractor, and the older trucks used to be this way, and somebody would tell you, when you go down a dry road, you do not put it in four-wheel drive. Now, the knowledge that if I drive down the road, I shouldn't do that. That's knowledge. The wisdom part is, I follow that knowledge. I use that knowledge rightly. I don't put it in four-wheel drive. But every time you'd push that lever out, you would say, why in the world do I do this? Why can't I leave it in four-wheel drive? That's where understanding comes in. If you have understanding, it's easy to flip that out of four-wheel drive into two-wheel drive. And that is because those front wheels are geared that they go a wee bit faster than the back wheels. And you shred your tires down and you're extremely hard on your drive line by putting that extra stress on it if it's not slippery. Once you know that, it's not hard to put it out of four-wheel drive. That picture is the same spiritually. Here we have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Where does knowledge come from? That we might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Over 99%, I dare say, of the will of God is in black and white. The more you get knowledge from His word, the more you can sense that decision isn't good. This is better. That is better. This is no good. Knowledge comes from God's word. It comes from experiences in life as well. Wisdom, as we take in God's word, we might not understand it, but we say, God's word says that, so I do it. And you know, as we follow that, in all wisdom, we're blessed. And understanding comes with age, with experience. You don't just get that overnight. Understanding comes with age and experience. As you go on in life, if you go against God's word, you say, I know it says this, but I'm going to do this. You will learn understanding eventually too, with regret. If you go the other way and God begins to reveal Himself, you all of a sudden say, oh, now I understand why God says this. It makes sense and it becomes easy to do. We are supposed to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. Take that knowledge, use it as we learn in God's word, follow it, and then spiritual understanding will come. And I believe that is one of the reasons why God has said elders are to be mature. As young people, they lack understanding. They've got knowledge, they might have wisdom, they might follow that word, But they're asking why, why, why? They don't understand it. As you get older, you get the feeling, you know, if we go that way, we're headed down a way that is not as good as if we go this way. It's going to bring results that aren't as good and solid. And then he goes on, that ye might walk worthy. And if we do these things, we would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is one thing we're supposed to increase in, is the knowledge of God. Are you? Question, I'll leave with you. How much have we increased in the last 36 years? We go to verse 11. And this is applying the blood to the horns of the altar. I was kind of surprised at verse 11 here. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. For what? All patience and long suffering with joyfulness. It takes God's great power to make that happen in our lives. Without depending on him, it won't happen. The Christian life is a moment-by-moment miracle. It doesn't come alone. It says we're dependent on him and rest on him and claim the victory that Christ has won for us on the cross to walk with him. Leaving that behind, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to read verse 58. A beautiful chapter. I've enjoyed it many times. But I noticed something this time that kind of excited me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What I never really took to heart when I read this scripture was the strategic place this verse is placed. Do you notice the first word of this verse? Therefore. What's before it? It is the most detailed portion of scripture about the resurrection. How it's going to happen. Some mysteries are revealed here, some secrets that other scripture doesn't reveal. In light of the resurrection, beloved my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what makes it worthwhile. That's what makes it that it isn't vain. That's what makes it that we're supposed to search and work and open up our lives to the Lord to help him, or that he will help us, that we will abound in the work of the Lord. And that isn't standing up here. That could be helping some person. That could be a word of witness. That could be a deed of kindness. Are you abounding in the work of the Lord? The resurrection's coming. What a glorious thing. Let me tell you a few things about this, therefore. First of all, from verse 36 to 41, it tells us we're going to have different bodies. It is sown corruptible. It is raised incorruptible. In verse 43, it tells us we are made in dishonor, but we're going to be made to glory. We are made in weakness. We're going to be made to power. We're made a natural body. We're going to be raised a spiritual body. Not to grow into this, we will be changed. You know, with that in view, what an amazing thing to want to abound in the work of the Lord. We're going to be changed. It tells us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I want to ask the question, are you abounding in the work of the Lord? Have you abounded in the last 36 years, if you've been here that long? The last year, if you've only been here the last year? This is something we're asked to do. This is knowledge. Wisdom is if we apply it and let it happen in our life. To abound in the work of the Lord, one thing we have to realize, we have an enemy. He doesn't want us to abound in the work of the Lord. In Ephesians 6, it tells us we're in a warfare. And Satan is going to attack us. He'll use anything he can. And he will attack us in many ways. He'll attack us with discouragement. Thoughts, I can't do it. Can use other people instead of me. He can use other people to put doubts and fear in our life. He can use anger and thoughts that I'm simply no good. And I'd like to just add here with that. I think that's something I had to get over. If you're struggling with that, that's not God's will. God made you an individual. He made you different than everybody else. And the first thing to get in your mind is not to try and be somebody else. Be yourself and open to God. He has a special place for you. Thank God how he made you. Accept it and just let God lead you. That's so important. But there's also jealousy, malice, hatred. All of these things can keep us from abounding in the work of the Lord, and do sometimes. You know, to abound in the work of the Lord and abound in these things is a bit like an investment. You put it in there and the investment, and you get a letter once a month and then says, this is how much it's worth last month. This is how much it's worth this month. Ooh, I lost so many dollars. The next month, oh, I gained so many. You know, that's how we are, because we are sinful. And the only way to abound again is apply the blood to the horns of the altar. Claim the victory that is in Christ. Our lives go up and down, so we can't get discouraged. If we fail, we need to come back to the Lord and confess and yield ourselves to him again. I see my time's pretty well up here. There's one here I think I'll take yet, and this will likely wind us up. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. I found this one interesting. First Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. I got chapter 2 here. Okay, now we're here. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. 36 years, you get to know each other pretty good. And it's a great thing the Lord has said we're supposed to grow in love. And you know, I can honestly say I appreciate each one of you. But yes, some of you have rubbed me wrong sometimes. I've got to admit it. And I got to admit I've rubbed some of you wrong too. I won't hide it. And sometimes I was wrong. It's my fault. Sometimes maybe not. But we're to grow in love, one toward another. Paul did that toward them. Are we? You know, we can look each other in the eyes here. And we can look at each other and remember things that you did that to me. You did that to me. You did that to me. Or we can look at each other. And I think I can look each one of you in the eyes and honestly say this. And say, you helped me there. You encouraged me spiritually. May we do that. And forget the other. We're to grow and increase in our love one to another. Are we? The next question. What kind of measuring stick do we use? How do we know if we've grown? How do we know if we've gotten less? How? That's difficult. I think one thing is, it's more from other people. How do they respond to you? I think that's one place you can see if you're growing. The ultimate will be when we stand before the Lord and he'll give judgment. Then we'll all know. That'll be the final word. So as we have gone 36 years, I don't know how long it is till the Lord comes back. But until he does, there are many, many, many other things. I should just quick count them to you. That the Lord, through the apostles, has earnestly said, we're supposed to abound in these things. We're supposed to grow in these things. We're not supposed to stand still. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I have 14 here, and I didn't even write them all down. But may I encourage us as an assembly. May we grow in the knowledge of the Lord, in his word, and then walk in wisdom and grow in our spiritual understanding. May God help us. In the years to come. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are here. And again, our minds don't comprehend why you would have ever made us. We're just like a bunch of kids led into your house. We spill. We spread toys. We make marks in the walls. We're just like a bunch in there that's, as it were, destroys your house. But you and your grace and love, love us regardless. And you want us in your house. We thank you for that. We thank you for the 36 years you've given us, the times you've forgiven where we failed, the times you've blessed us where we've taken opportunities. And Lord, may you give us the courage and wisdom and spiritual understanding to go forward from here and to be wise and to be a light in this community. So we ask these things in the name of Jesus and for his sake and our sake as well. Amen.